Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, if you enjoy fun, you got to check out our guy, Bert Kreischer. AEG Presents, thrilled to announce Bert Kreischer live at Red Rocks Amphitheater Wednesday, September 8th. Joined by Mark Norman, it's time to get your tickets now. All you need to do is download the Red Rocks app before you visit. Probably already have that Red Rocks app, to be honest with you. It's a great app, super easy to purchase your tickets for your favorite show or concert. You've probably heard of Bert Kreischer before from his Showtime or Comedy Central stand-up specials, maybe from one of his two podcasts, Bertcast or Open Tabs. He's super, super hilarious. You're going to love him. Check him out on YouTube and then go and get those tickets today. Download the Red Rocks app. Grab your tickets to see Bert Kreischer with Mark Norman September 8th at the best venue in the world. That's right. That's Red Rocks. That's Bert Kreischer and Mark Norman at Red Rocks on September 8th. All ages are welcome. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you as always by Strava Craft Coffee. Don't forget to use your promo code DNVR25. You'll save 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this one, we're diving right into this Texas Rangers versus Colorado Rockies series. An entertaining, if not altogether frustrating, game one for Colorado Rockies players and fans alike. I'm sure a 4-3 loss. We'll get into some of that. Take a look at the rest of it coming up here. Maybe put a few bets down on DraftKings, see how we're feeling. Take some questions if you've got them here in the YouTube Live. Make sure that you're swinging by that. You click the bell icon, you subscribe, you do all the things to make sure you know how you're feeling there on YouTube. But Patrick, two homers from Trevor Story. That accounted for all the Rockies' offense. They ended up falling just short.
Trevor Story enjoys playing in Texas.
He likes it, right?
I'll say that. Yeah, he in breaking down the numbers, you know, and remembering that he had a two home run game last year during the pandemic shortened season, it got the wheels spinning and looking up some of the history. If you follow us on Twitter, you saw that he's actually the first Rockies player to have three multi-homer games on the road. No player had ever done it more than twice in interleague play. And he actually is the first to do it against the same team. He's done it the last 2 years. He's also no player has more multi-homer games at Globe Life Field other than Joey Gallo than Trevor Story. Gallo did three times.
Played there.
That's his home ballpark. Yeah.
Right.
And so it was crazy. And so I looked it up. I didn't get too deep into the search like of dominance in one particular place.
Oh, yeah, I can say not too deep, just deep enough. Well, and also Globe Life hadn't been around that long either. So, you know, maybe we need a little more sample size stuff. It is also interesting that it's an American League ballpark that a National League player happens to dominate. We know Trevor also does really well in Arizona, though I think that's evened out a little bit over the last couple of months and years. But
all right, so let me ask this question then of you. Again, this is, yes, I'm putting you on the spot, but you do great at these, so I have no worries. How many times, and I'll give you this number, 334 times a Rockies player has hit two or more home runs in a game. No one's done it four times. Plenty have done it three. I think most recently Ryan McMahon this year. But in the 334 times a Rockies player has a multi-home run game, how many of them came in an American League ballpark?
Oh, wow.
You know two, right? We know the two from the story in the last few years, right?
Two for sure, for sure.
I also told you that he did it another time. He did it in Seattle.
Yeah. So
that's three right there. But other than that,
I mean, I wouldn't guess a ton. I would guess less than a third.
So would you put it at 25? Would you put it at 50?
Yeah, 32.
32? 13 times.
That's no, it. Only 13 times.
They have only homered against or had a multi-homer game against an American League club 30 times total. 17 times at Coors. 13 times at the AL ballpark.
I guess they did have that run, and I can't remember exactly when it was. Will, if you're here in the comments, help me out. Maybe you'll be down at trivia tonight. I'll be down at trivia tonight, down at the bar, and this would be a good one. But I remember the Rockies had a stretch where they were almost unexplainably awful in interleague play. And, of course, that came to an end, and for no particular reason. No, and it was almost like, like, I'd have a much easier time explaining to you why the Rockies are terrible on the road this year and really good at home. I feel like there are several reasons you can point to. But for a while there, they were just inexplicably terrible in interleague play. And I'd kind of forgotten about that. So now that you bring this back up, it's reminding me that, yeah, they went for a while where an American League team was on the docket and they just shrank. I don't know why.
Well, Since we're kind of jumping to the idea of just general interleague play.
Yeah.
Since 1997, that was the first year of interleague play.
Okay.
Colorado has won 10 or more games in five different seasons. Only five times have they won 10 or more games.
Wow, yeah.
Okay. And they typically play about 19 or 20. You tell me if you notice anything about these years that they've won 10 or more interleague games.
See if I can spot the similarity.
Yeah, see if you can spot. 2007.
Okay. Yeah, right.
2009.
Mm-hmm.
2017.
Interesting.
2018.
18.
And 2006. Right now, this year's Rockies are 9-9 in interleague play.
I love this year's team so much.
What
They're
does
so
that
ridiculous.
Mean?
This year's team is like the most stat-breaking thing of all time.
So if 06 is the only year, right, because 95 is the only other season we didn't mention where they made the postseason. There was no interleague play, of course.
Right.
But you've got the one outlier is 2006. But what happened the next year? They went to the World Series.
They're getting ready to be good.
So if form stays true and they can win the 10th game, if they don't, they're not going to the World Series next year.
Yeah, no.
If
then
they do, win one of the next two games, get in early on DraftKings.
Lock it in.
When you've got 29 different pieces of data as your sample set, that's more than enough to just go ahead and
really just go with it.
Right? Yeah,
just go with it. There's no way that could possibly be wrong.
But the magic number is 10. As soon as you go to 9, again, all bets are off, but that kind of blew my mind when I started digging into the numbers.
And it would make sense that in your better years, you'd kind of be better across the board, but it is funny that it's that exact, that it's that direct of a correlation, that it really is the years they've been good. And then 2006, like you said, the year they were getting ready to be good. And then potentially this year where we know they're extraordinarily good at home. And so I would imagine the vast majority of those wins against American League teams have come at Coors Field. It'll be curious to see if they can pull off a couple here. Still got some opportunities. There's a winnable ball game last night, despite the fact that it was looking for a while there like they might get shut out again. Might be another one of those road shutout situations. We maybe did a little too much picking on the poor rookie yesterday. I'll put that on me. I'll take the blame for that one, picking on poor rookie going out there. He pitched well. He pitched very, very well. And it was kind of that typical Rockies road offense where younger players are being a little too jumpy, a little too aggressive. He did get some nice at-bats from CJ Crone. He had a double early to make sure the team wasn't going to get no hit. Took that off the board like that. Thank you, AJ. You know, owe me some Hassle Cattle Company beef. But, yeah, until Story hit that first homer, it just was so stagnant. And then Marquez not having the big rebound dominant outing like I thought. You're sitting there going, ugh, it's looking like some ugly road Rockies. But then Story gave you that little glimmer of hope. Didn't come through, but we'll see if maybe they can ride some of that momentum for these next couple games.
They put the ball in play fairly well. They only had four strikeouts against Alexi, and they struck out one other time. So that's not bad. That's got to be towards the lowest that we've seen from them this season with only five strikeouts. Like, that's pretty darn good. Yet it does help, you know, that you have a DH, so you don't have a pitcher spot up there, somebody cold coming off the bench. But, you know, nevertheless, they did a good job putting the ball in play. So that's positive. And then for Trevor Story, you know, it can't be said enough. We may need to now start calling him Trevor Flipping Story. I think that is the proper description. People are taking notice of his great bat flip. It's very KBO, where as soon as his hands start coming forward, boom, he lets it go.
Because there's not a lot of guys in the States doing that, right? It's that different flip where it's the hands are coming back forward. A lot of guys, most bat flips are the other way. They're backwards when a guy flips it. It would be counterclockwise.
Or
if you're a lefty.
and maybe we're saying the same thing. It's almost like you're flipping it up, right? You've got your bat and you're flipping it almost towards yourself.
Yeah.
It might be going away, but you're flipping it. The bat head is coming towards you. Right. His is doing the opposite. He's doing tomahawk.
He's basically throwing the bat.
It's an axe throw. Yes.
It's amazing.
Trevor Flipping Story, he's axe throwing when he hits that ball, and he knows it's gone. And
he knows
it's going to be gone there in Texas.
I don't even know the mechanics of it. So from the right side to come through this way, he's up there and just lets it go. It's amazing. And I don't know how he does it.
He actually has now more home runs. He's got five than any player against the Rockies ever. And there's been a lot more guys. There's been seven more Rockies players who've played 13 or more games against the Rangers. He's only played 10. Charlie Blackman's actually played against the Rangers 23 different times. So Story's, he plays really well against them. So he's got five home runs against Texas, which is most. He's tied for tops with two stolen bases. I'm sure he's going to want to get one more just in case, so he can have that record too.
It's been a while since he's attempted a steal, though. Oh. So we were talking about that in the Discord the other day too. Like, he hasn't looked 100%. We still haven't seen him air it out with the arm a lot, and he's kind of stopped trying to steal bases. But I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised if for this special occasion. And also with something, just speaking of talking in the Discord, you know, this morning, talking about whether or not Texas is somewhere where, you know, Story might want to end up going next season, showing off for him a little bit, show him a little bit of what you got. I do think that's I actually think the Rockies and the Rangers, unless he has a monster finish to the season, I think it actually is going to come down to the Rockies and the Rangers. I really do. Because I don't think there are too many. I think the Rangers are the best. I think they're the top
for him and for that. Well, for them, I mean, look, they need some bodies, right? Joey Gallo's gone. I mean, all they got is Adolis Garcia, really, on the offensive side. I think they have even less money on the books next year, guaranteed money.
One of the very few that do. Yeah.
So they've got a lot. Jose Leclerc is getting paid $5 million in change, and I'm sure if another team is even mildly interested, they can shed that money too. So they've got plenty of money to spend. And we know Texas has been a team that they will go out and spend on guys pitching, hitting, and free agents aren't afraid to play there for numerous reasons, where again, we know the Rockies are at that disadvantage because, you know, I've heard it from agents. I would never let my player pitch in Colorado. And don't worry about it because the Rockies aren't going to be going and doing that anytime soon anyway. But I think that's all lining up, I think, really well as his place to be. If everything goes normal, again, he gets hurt or something like that. And so I know you're not suggesting he's hurt, but when I hear you say, yeah, you know what, you're right. He hasn't been seeing a lot of bases, and maybe he's been a little gingerly with his arm. You go, he might be playing through some things, right? That's like my interpretation.
I think he's not 100%. Yeah,
if he gets hurt and goes down, he may take that qualifying offer and actually come back, right? We know that there's that possibility.
I think there's a chance he takes the qualifying offer anyway. I wouldn't have said that a month or two ago, but even just from talking to some people around the organization and some of the things that are flying around, it's like, it is not a done deal that Trevor just turns down that qualifying offer, especially with all of the uncertainty with the next CBA, you know, not knowing if someone out there will give him a multi-year deal is pretty unlikely, especially with the health. He is fully healthy. You see, the one-year deal with Texas could be just as exciting, if not more so, than a one-year deal with Colorado. But I think that's probably the only place where that's true. And so that just comes down to how much change does he want to deal with in an offseason, probably. But I still think, again, I would put Texas in first place as the team most likely to get Trevor Story and the Rockies in second. And again, unless if he has a really strong finish to the season and he looks healthy and he plays well, a lot more teams could get interested in a hurry. The multi-year deals could be back on the table. But as it stands right now, his options are limited, but not terrible. He's going to make $18, $19, $20 million next year, no matter what.
So. Would you say, and that you make a great point too, would you say it's 51% in favor that he could return on the qualifying offer, or you're not exactly there yet? Is there too much of a gray area in the middle of there's a 33% chance he accepts the qualifying offer, 33, he'll go out, he'll get his money, he'll be fine. And then there's what's left over.
Yeah, I would say closer to that or you know, a less than 50% chance that he accepts it. But I think, you know, even in May, there was a 1% chance Trevor Story was even considering taking a qualifying offer at that point. So, yeah, a 1,200 OPS in Arlington, that's pretty good.
Yeah, no, he's been fantastic in Texas. He 878 slugging percentage in his career against Texas, and he's been better in Texas than in Colorado in these games. So it's outside of Dante Bichette, who has him by 10,000ths of a point. Trevor Story is at the top of OPS. So yeah, I think that'll be interesting to see what he does in the second half in the final month of the season. Like you said, with the CBA coming in, I think he still could take a chance in free agency, because maybe he would only get a one-year deal with Texas to maybe reclaim some value or whatever. Also, too, another factor in that, besides just what he does on the field in the final month, does Carlos Correa sign some kind of extension before the offseason? And that pulls off another shortstop on the market. Could maybe Corey Seager, I think that's much less likely because of his injury concerns. They still have Justin Turner there. So, I mean, they would have Trey and Justin Turner at shortstop, third base. Corey Seager maybe works in. I think they might even be more inclined to just, you know, extend Trey Turner. Yeah, and let Corey Seager go. So really, yeah. Carlos Correa, I think, is the one guy I don't think we have to worry about some kind of extension with Javi Baez going back and staying in New York. I don't think that will happen, but that's another one of those things that could shift closer towards, you know, rejecting that qualifying offer. A lot can happen here in the month of play. A lot more can happen.
For now, though, we shall toast our Breck Brews to Trevor Story, majestic home runs, Trevor Story bat flips. It's what you drink your beer watching a baseball game, hoping to see. And boy, when he hits them, it's a thing of beauty. also a thing of beauty. Look at this nice, beautiful can I got here. If you're not on the YouTubes, you can't see. Oh, look at that mountain beach. So pleasant. Breck Brew.
It's a great aluminum can, too, I might have to say. It's a great aluminum can.
That's right, aluminum can, almost certainly made by our friends at Ball. I wonder if it says on here. I bet you. Well, we'll get around to what we're betting here in just a second, too. But this Mountain Beach Sour, absolutely delicious stuff. It's all delicious. Try out the Tap Pack 15-can sampler at your local King Supers or at a liquor store. But you get a bigger one down at the DNVR Bar if you're a member of the family. Subscribe today to the DNVR.com. You get access to all the written content, discounts on hats and shirts. You get a free shirt when you get the annual subscription from our DNVR locker right now. You also get to hang out on our Discord channel. All kinds of cool stuff that comes with being a member of the family. So definitely do that. Check it out today. One of the big things that you get is always getting hooked up with our fantastic sponsors, like our friend, the DraftKings Sportsbook, where you're making money. We're about to hook you up with a bit of money that you can be making just tonight, right on this evening. We got you all set up. I'll be down at the DMVR bar, taking in the game, watching some trivia, and betting on my DraftKings Sportsbook app because they make it super free, super fun. Not free to bet. You got to bet actual money, though. Right now, actually, it basically is free to bet if you haven't jumped on there before because, well, they're hooking you up with a promo deal. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. You'll receive $200 in free bets when you place $1 on any football game. It's promo code DNVR to get free $200 in bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
My DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week is the Colorado Rockies on Wednesday. Kyle Freeland's start looking to make it 13 straight starts of incredibly well-pitched ball games. Right now, the money line is at minus 135, but I want you to take the run line. I think the Rockies are going to win by two or more runs. That's going to be plus 120. So that's going to be the one, just like they did it on Chicago. They, on their way out, boom, they were able to sneak out that win. They did in LA their final game. They snuck away with the win. And so I think the Rockies are going to do that with Kyle Freeland on the hill. Take the run line of giving 1.5 runs. It's going to net you plus 120. That's my DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. Lock it in, folks.
Boom. Love it. Love it. For tonight's game, you got the Gomb on the hill. Gombert. 20th in Gomb. No, it doesn't. The Blake Street Gomber, but they're on the
I appreciate the effort. I do. The Gombinator.
The Gombinator. Against the one, the only, your former favorite Colorado Rockies starting pitcher, Jordan Lyles, came over in the Dexter Fowler deal.
So
Jordan Lyles and Brandon Barnes.
I'm searching for this on the DraftKings Sportsbook. You can't bet a no-hitter through 8 innings on here. man, that's... Yeah. The one, folks remember back in 2018 when he was with,
I know,
at the time, very lowly San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
And did he bring it? Was his no hitter into the,
sixth? But it was at Coors, wasn't it? That was at San Diego. He got the better of him at Coors one game too. But the no hitter that he took into like the seventh or eighth was in San Diego.
I think it might have been the eighth. I think it was the
eighth.
Padres ended up winning.
Which is
4-0, May 15th, 2018.
And he was so bad as a Rocky.
You know who broke it up? Guy right there today. Trevor Flippin Story.
Trevor Flippin Story. Well, I will take the under on the no-hitter, right? I'll take the over on 0.5 hits for the Colorado Rockies. We did not talk about the triumphant return of Raimel Tapia to the lineup. He didn't really do a whole lot. I actually thought his first three at bats were super hilarious. His first at bat, swung at the first pitch. It was inside, not a strike. Popped it up on the infield. Welcome back, Raimel Tapia. You're out. Second at bat, did not see a strike. Four straight out of the zone. It's on base. You're like, all right, fair enough. Okay. Next at bat, also did not see a strike. Took one out of the zone. Second one was out of the zone. He swung at it, put it in play. It was in between fielders. They couldn't get to it. Infield hit. Welcome back, Raimel Tapia. Eventually,
he left off, essentially, yeah. Right?
So he had three at-bats. He didn't see a strike. He had not seen a strike yet. He had but one pop out on the infield, one walk, one infield hit. It was amazing.
I loved that he was hitting seventh to just allow him to kind of just get back into the groove of things. And the thing you like about it is it worked, right? He was able to get on base twice, as you said, kind of detailing those at bats so incredibly well. You're like, okay, he's comfortable. Bud Black seems to think he's good to go because he's back at the top of the lineup, not batting leadoff, but batting second.
Joe Tapp.
Batting second against the left-hander. So Bud Black kind of doing, at least here in the start in the first game, what we had suggested that, hey, you got a lefty on the hill, have Connor Joe leading off, then go left with Tapia, right to Trevor Flippin Story. Flip it if you got a righty. So it will be interesting to see what we got going on for tomorrow's game. But we thought that maybe Tapia would be in center field. I think Buddy kind of intimated such a thing. We're not going to see Tapia in center field again. We're using the DH, which we kind of thought, hey, all right, you might as well use it. Thought Tapia might be in the DH a little bit here. And maybe he will tomorrow, the day game after the night game. But you got Connor Joe as the DH, Tapia in left, Hilliard at center, and CJ Krohn over back in first base. The lineup being Joe, Tapia, Story, Blackman, Krohn, McMahon, Elias Diaz, Hampson, Sam Hilliard in center field. Also a Texas kid. So keep an eye out for him to do some big things tonight as well.
Yeah, I like getting Hilliard more at bats before he may unfortunately get kind of pushed out here. So I like all that, especially in Texas, as you put it. And even as you went through it there, for a team that's – I think their OPS plus on the season's been at like 87, 88, which is one of the lower marks in franchise history. By the way, last year in the shortened 2020 year was a flat 80. They were awful, absolutely awful at the plate. Shortened sample size. So, but anyway, this team has been pretty bad offensively all year. But you just ran through those names, and it does not feel like a bunch of randos or a bunch of terrible guys. Joe Tapp, awesome, feeling good there. Then you've got your legit veteran guys who've been all-stars before. Stowe Black. So Joe Tapp, Stowe Black. Right. And then you got all these guys who've been fun and interesting. What was it again? So is Diaz? No, Krohn, right?
So Krohn's got McMahon, there. 5 and 6, then Diaz.
Yeah, Krohn, McMahon, Diaz. Like, that's a whole lot of fun right there. That's a lot of firepower. And then yeah, Hampson and Hilliard are really the guys who struggle the most, really been up and down. But when they're on, they're as exciting as anybody in the lineup. You know, Hilliard hitting his massive bombs and Hampson getting on base and running all over the place and doing everything, playing stupendous defense and all of that. So you've just, it's kind of funny. You're like, these guys aren't good, but not terrible. And they're fun and there's a lot of potential there. And I tell you what, folks, as someone who's watched this team since they've existed and remembering years where like Mike McHenry had to bat fifth, right behind Troy Tulowitzki, is like that was the best lineup protection they could find at the time. Like there have been some awful bottom halves of lineup. So you're just like, I don't want to watch this guy hit. I want to leave the room. I don't want to be here and watch this guy hit. And right now I want to watch everybody in this lineup hit. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a lot more competitive than it seemed at the beginning of the season when Krohn wasn't so great. Diaz was really bad. Charlie, and again, you know, Charlie's been okay heating up in the second half, we know, but you're right, there's no easy outs. We're like, man, it felt like there were holes at times. And again, this is still a very beatable lineup, as we said, you know hitting has been, you know, difficult.
There's no star power there. There's still no stars in that line,
right? From third through sixth, everyone has 61 RBI or more. So you feel somewhat good about that, but your team leader is CJ Cron in 76, and you got to go back all the way to obviously 2020. We can wipe that clean. That was 162 games, but you got to go back to 2014, 13, and 12 since you've had a season in which there wasn't one Rockies player to have 100 RBI, and that's most likely what you're going to have here right. this year. So
that
is a little indicator of what's going on. Yeah.
But I do like the Rockies' chances in this one with Gomber on the hill against Lyles. Now, again, Gomber needs to straighten some things out. He was decent in his last outing right up until that at-bat with Patrick Wisdom, and that really turned around the whole game, the whole outing, messed up his ERA pretty good. You know, all those kinds of things that it can do. But I like Gomber on the hill against Lyles here to bounce back. You can get Gomber. I had done this one before. Oh, where did it go? Gomber to record a win was like plus 140, which I think is solid. If you like him to have a good game in the Rockies offense to get after Lyles, if you're not confident in that Rockies offense, then I would go maybe. What do we got on strikeouts? Oh, that's player strikeouts. Well, that's interesting.
You know, the one thing that makes you feel a little bit better about what you're saying, because, you know, since he's come back from the IL, he hasn't been great, right? Since
yeah.
the July 21st start against Seattle, which the Rockies won and was quality start. He has got a 6.06 ERA. But in early June, Texas came to Colorado, Moita Gomber due, six innings, shutout ball, only gave up three hits, struck out six, didn't walk a single Rangers player. You say, okay, let's go back to that. What was the scouting report? What did you do in that game? Watch that. Watch clips of that. Be that guy again. And you know that that's in there. You know that that's in there. And as you said, you like for that to happen, and they're giving you good numbers on the win. You might like the strikeouts too. You know, he did strike out eight in Chicago his last start. Wasn't great, you know, as you said, the wisdom at bat. And, gave up those three home runs, but he did strike out eight.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here's the strikeouts by pitcher. So it's, you're not getting great odds on it. You get over 5.5, but minus 115. So they're not, they decided to go that way with it. If you like, we've often taken, I like taking the Rockies to strike out. Jordan Lyles over is also 5.5, but you get much better. You get plus 125 on that if you like the Rockies swing and miss a little bit tonight against their old foe, but or friend. Well, they're both, I guess. and our other new favorite bet, the home run and team to win. This is a good one. I like this one because I think you can kind of pick a guy from each team if you like here, whichever way you think the game might go. Since Cron didn't get one last night, I like that.
But
CJ Cron.
But what he did do, and this is my favorite. I like Ooh. The homer and win.
Okay.
But the total bases, right? His total Ooh. Bases was 1.5. And I said, all you got to do is hit a double.
That's right. And he did. Hit that double early on. That was a good swing, too. If you want to go the other way, I like Adolis Garcia at plus 550 to hit a home run and the Rangers to win, if you like that.
That's generous. Yeah.
If you just want him to hit the home run, but the Rockies to still pull off the W, it's plus 340 for an Adolis Garcia homer. You get plus 380 just for Connor Joe or CJ Cron at plus 330 to hit some homers. I like someone to go yard tonight for sure. There's going to be some balls flying out of the yard tonight. That's the one thing that for sure has been the major blemish on Gomber's resume, even before when he was doing well. He's given up the home run ball. That's definitely the thing. When he gets hit, it's not these long innings of guys stringing together a bunch of hits in the gap or singles through each side, moving guys over, drawing a bunch of walks. We know he doesn't walk anybody. So that's not like when he leaves the ball up, and he works up on purpose. So sometimes it's just guys jumping on what he's trying to throw, but he's been home run prone. Jordan Lyles, when he's not at his best, has been home run prone in his career as well. So tonight might be a good night to throw some dollars down on guys on both teams to go yard.
I think the one thing that, you know, Gomber is battling through right now, and in fact, I think every player in MLB to a degree is battling this. The season last year was 60 games.
Yeah.
That's it.
Everyone's
and, yeah. And with Gomber, again, was a bullpen guy last year. So, I mean, even Herman Marquez goes out and had as many starts as he did. I forget what the final number was. Maybe it might've been like 13. You go, all right, even he's dealing with it where, you know, his he didn't have the mileage on his arm that he did last year, which is good. You say, oh, that's going to be good for his recovery. And he might start a little bit fresher and whatnot. But what does that mean for these dog days of summer? We still got a way to go. And temperatures are cooling a little bit here in Colorado, and they'll be coming back home on Thursday against Atlanta. But I think Gomber's kind of dealing with that as a guy who hasn't had consistent, you know, starting innings. And that's okay. And that's totally fine. If his season ends today and they just said, hey, you know, we're just going to shut him down. That's it. He's had enough innings. There used to be a Verducci number where, you know, there it was believed like, hey, a pitcher should, I forget what the number is, but should only increase by like 25% of his innings from the previous year. Anything more than that, it increases the likelihood of needing Tommy John surgery in the future. Right. I'm sure there is still some truth to that, but it's also those high impact innings where it's not just the innings, but it's the pitches thrown during some of those innings. And you go, oh, he's only at 75 pitches, you know, through five innings, but the second inning he threw 31 pitches. So that weighs a lot more heavily. So we'll see if Gomber can kind of manage that. And I think if he can a little bit with a quality start, I think that's incredibly promising to say, all right, you don't have your best stuff. You're probably pitching at 90%, right? And you're not going all in and going all out because you can't. So how can you pitch with less than that? I think all pitchers are dealing with that right now across baseball. So that will be an interesting little story to keep an eye on, especially tonight in Texas.
Yeah, well, and there's another wrinkle to that I want to add here about the Rockies trying not to mortgage their future. But, hey, if you're trying to get mortgages done, trying to get your sense of the market out here in Colorado, you got to get hooked up with our friends Mike and Virginia Chevalier. They're the absolute best. They know what's up. They can talk to you all about the market. They can also talk to you all about the local sports team, especially what's going on with the Rams. If you're a Rams person, Mike, a big Rams guy. But they know their sports. They know their DNVR. But they also know the housing market. They can walk you through this whole stressful process and make it not stressful for you. Check them out at dnvrmortgage.com. Enter to win a free shirt or hat of your choice when you do, but most importantly, get set up with that free consultation to discuss all of your options. Again, that's at dnvrmortgage.com. They're absolutely fantastic. You got to love Mike and Virginia. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or Mike at 970-412-2472. Michael Chevalier, NMLS number 1931006, and Virginia Chevalier, NMLS number 1910631.
I've been told that the housing market in Colorado is like recession proof. It's like bubble proof. You go, what if the values of homes go down? It's Colorado. It's not. So you could spend what you are on your rent, or you could spend that exact same amount and you get it back when you sell that home. So hit them up because you could be saving yourself a lot of money in the long run. You're investing in your future with the purchase of a home.
And once you've purchased that new home, you can celebrate with some Solace Meds. I highly recommend our friends. They got fantastic stuff for you, whether you need a little bit of flour, concentrates, cartridges, tinctures, gummies, edibles, drinkables, Dixie Elixir. They got anything and everything you can think of. CBD, something called CBN, which I had to learn about. It's basically a sleep thing.
I just heard about that. Psychoactive
whatsoever. It's really great stuff. And it's something that, like, if you're not even sure you're like a dispensary, I don't know if that's a place for me, but I need a natural sleep aid and nothing has worked for me. This is not a psychoactive thing. CBN, the people at Solace too, like they're super knowledgeable. These are the people that told me all about this. And so it's nice knowing that they know their stuff. They'll take care of you. They'll recommend whatever you're looking for, whatever you need. Oh, they got a sale going on, or the Labor Day sale, I guess, is on the 6th, September 6th. Buy three, get the fourth for 10 cents on what? I'm not sure, but Patriots Day, buy three, get the fourth for 10 cents. I'm gonna guess that's either on pre-rolls. Maybe that's on everything. Maybe this is just if you buy three of their concentrates. I'll have to double check what that says that it's on. But either way, head into their location. They got one in Fort Collins, one in Wheat Ridge, one off Broadway, and one just blocks away from the DNVR bar on East Colfax. Don't forget to use promo code DNVR20. You'll get 20% off and a free Solace bar or King Comb. You can also visit them online at solacemeds.com. That's S-O-L-A-C-E meds.com.
We went to the one up in Fort Collins, and my dad invested some serious coin in some of that CBN, and he slept great. And so when he woke up the next day, he was really chipper. And I thought, like, oh man, you're dipping in your Solace meds a little early today. And I realized, no, he just slept better. Like, he just felt more refreshed in the morning. That's definitely a new wrinkle in that world that people need to check out, the CBN.
Yeah, really interesting. I was speaking earlier about the Rockies and not wanting to mortgage their future. One of the things that manager Bud Black has hinted at recently is the possibility that when the rosters expand here pretty soon, that the Rockies could go to a six-man rotation featuring either Ryan Rolison or Peter Lambert, because we know, you know, those guys are Lambert's trying to work his way back into the mix. He's been at the professional level before. Rolison had basically been knocking on the door right before some unfortunately timed injuries this year. And so that would be another way where if you're trying to make sure Gomber's not working too much, these other guys have pretty much had their workload. But again, you're not winning the pennant this year. There's nothing to win this year. And so you got to make sure that all of these guys are at their absolute best going in next year. They are the rock core center of this whole idea. Your starting rotation has to be there. So I really like this idea. I hope they implement it, and it's not just something they've considered, kick around and maybe try for a little bit, but one of the young guys doesn't pitch well, and so they nix it or whatever. Just stick with it. Run these guys out there. But what do you think, Patrick? Is this something you're excited to potentially see, six-man rotation?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's a great idea for, you know, numerous reasons. And, you know, the Rockies even have 39 guys right now on the 40-man roster, so they got room. They need to take Lambert off the 60-day. There's no downside whatsoever. The only mild downside is after the fifth day in the rotation, someone shows up at the ballpark at Coors going, "Hey man, it's Hermann Marquez day."
You go,
"Oh, what?" But then instead you've got, you know, Peter Lambert and or Ryan Rolison. Maybe you have both those guys together, you know, getting some more of that experience, because Lambert, he's still getting.
I'd rather go see Rolison right now.
I mean, in a way, yes. Right.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when, because Marquez hasn't been at his best lately. So you go, all right, that's fine. I mean, anytime he goes out there, he could do it. But sure, if this franchise is a little bit about looking towards the future, who better than Lambert and Rolison? Lambert's already getting, you know, big major league service time. So it's not like, oh, you know, keep him down in the minors and make some more rehab starts. No, he can do it up here at the majors with Foster, you know, looking after him. And same thing with Rolison, just get some of that experience under his belt, because you don't really have to worry about, you know, starting his clock for arbitration. It's already so late in the year that whether you bring him up in September or whether you bring him up at the beginning of April of next year, he's still going to be a free agent at essentially the exact same time. Yeah. And so I think that's just a real good way to kind of reward those guys too for, you know, everything that they've been to and kind of feel, again, just feel some things out. And as we've been saying, save 1 through 5, save those starters. So, you know, they just don't get burnt out on this season. If this team's really going to attempt to contend next year, and or at least if they believe in that, then okay, you got to be cautious. Like I think you benefit more from, you know, taking your foot off the gas pedal and pulling back on the starts from the rotation than you do saying, no, man, Hermann, you got to go out there here on September 29th. You have the final home game against the Nationals. Like, that doesn't mean anything. It's going into the off season healthy. so that you can get ready for the next year. So I love it. And I think any of the PR issues that the Rockies might be worried about, which again, we know all teams have to worry about PR. We talked all day yesterday about the Mets and their thumbs down, and they had a great walk-off win and they're all back to thumbs up and hey, everything is magically all better. But you say, oh, six-man rotation, that sounds bad. And what is it? Everyone across baseball is dabbled in the six-man rotation, right? Or they've done a bullpen day. And the Rockies have just cause to do that. I don't necessarily think this is going to, you know, hamper them at home and they're going to win less at home. I think it's all good. It's all good from the optics standpoint in all capacities. I think it's wonderful. And I'd almost be disappointed if they didn't do something like this.
Yeah, same. I think they pretty much have to. You know, this is the kind of thing that they need to do. They need to get these guys experience. That's more important. Like I said, I would even rather be going to the ballpark right now because you know more or less what you're going to get out of John Gray and Herman Marquez. And always fun to watch Kyle Freeland pitch. And like you said, unless it's going to be that special day at the ballpark, you never know. I want to see what Lambert's got. I want to see what Rollinson's got. You know, I want to see, because if they're going to be legit too, that adds a whole extra wrinkle to this entire situation. And now you got to find a spot for a guy in the bullpen and all kinds of things. But Rollinson in particular, I find very intriguing because of how good he's looked in spring training against some really good hitters. I'm with you. I think I would be disappointed if they don't do something like this. You know, I think also we've seen some interesting things in this series with Texas about, you know, how would they play this team theoretically? And we know they're going to, you know, they've said they're going to go out and sign bats. We don't know who it's going to be. They'll get somebody. So it's not going to be the same team next year. But, you know, with the DH, and you go like, how do they play this? What are they valuing? Who do they decide to give time off or whatever? But they got to be thinking about the future and playing these guys to do all those things already, starting basically as soon as the clock turns to September. And so I hope we see those kinds of things.
Could be a way to play a little hardball with John Gray and say, you know, we've got two potential replacements for you. And maybe that helps expedite his extension, you know, something like that. You never know. But
this deal.
Yeah. Let's get this deal done sooner or later. Cause you know, or I'm dialing Peter Lambert right now. I'll push this button and boom, he signs on the line. Ooh, okay. We're good to go. We are locked into the future with this rotation, but you could have three lefties there with Rawlson, Gomber, Freeland. That's somewhat of a rarity for this franchise. That would be pretty interesting to see too.
Yeah. I think Rawlson, Gomber, Freeland with Marquez and Gray is your best potential rotation going into next year with Senzatella sliding into a bullpen role. And I like it. I'm not going to lie. I like it. By the way, the thing you were talking about earlier with increased workloads, by the way, in regards to Gomber, also got me thinking about Daniel Bard and the struggle he's having right now. The fact that he went 5 years without pitching in Major Great League point. Baseball. And then he pitched in a 60-game season where he was able to air it out, go 100 for the whole year, and looked phenomenal. And he basically didn't really have too many hiccups. And then, you know, 162-game season is just a different thing, man. It's just different. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he's a bit gassed.
He's already doubled his innings from last year. You could probably even go back and say, okay, he threw 24 and two-thirds last year. Where was that in this season? And it might erase everything. It certainly would erase what we've seen the last month. So, these guys are a little bit gassed. So send in the reserves, man. They already called up our guy, Kevin Collins, in the PR department. They plucked him from Albuquerque. So let's get some more of those guys up. See what they've got.
More Justin Lawrence. It really is too bad. I never liked the 40 man. That's way too many, but 28, is that what it is now? That doesn't feel like enough. It should be 30. 30 would have been fine because I feel like you only got like two extra guys are given those spots to Rollinson and Lambert, and that's it, right? I want to see Justin Lawrence. I want to see, you know, Gilbreth and Bowden need to be on the team at all times. Who else is kind of around? I'd love to see Colton Welker get the call. You know, if he's healthy and playing well. or even a guy like Ryan Vallade, who I don't think is quite ready for the bigs. It'd be a rush, but under the old system, once the minor league season ended, just to call him up and sit him on the bench, have him hang out in the clubhouse, sit there for the big league games, be around the guys, because you want him to be thinking about that going into spring training the next year. And so it definitely got out of hand. Thanks, Bruce Bochy and the San Francisco Giants, for making September baseball just
Dodgers are a little guilty too.
Yeah.
And the Rockies do have room to add Vallade too to the 40 man. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, calling up some of these guys is going to, but you lose somebody else. There's some fat on the bone still.
I'd like to see all those guys get some chances. Sadly, we're only going to get to see a couple of them. They're going to have to pick who they think can do it. But, and that's the other thing. If any veterans got a small thing, you know, they're talking about getting Gray. And I'm really glad to hear them talking about trying to get Gray back out for his next start, because that sounds like hopefully nothing long term there. But also, why? You really don't need to do that. Now is the perfect time to bring Lambert or back or call up Rollison, because it'll be that time. Or, you know, if Bard needs some time, you decide, hey, he's not fully healthy either, put him on the 10-day IL, call up Justin Lawrence, that kind of stuff. Get those young guys in there, because we need to see more about that. We need to learn about these dudes in the final month. All right. Hang around with us for the next couple of days. We see if the Rockies still on the table for the Rockies to win this road series. Still possible. A couple of winnable matchups here. And if they do, it will be the first time they've won two road series on the same trip. So there's something. Just trying to eat away at that not historically terrible on the road situation. Just doing their best out there. So hang out with us on Twitter. See how it goes. We're at Patrick D. Lyons, at Drew Griesman, at DNVR_Rockies. You know, of course, to subscribe to the DNVR.com for all the written content, for the ability to come hang out in our Discord channel, all that good stuff. The free shirt from the DMVR locker when you order the annual, and just getting to be a member of the family. We hope that you all continue to be absolutely awesome baseball fans out there. We promise that we will continue to be absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.